Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just for a reminder how to join us, we have a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either dial on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And just a reminder, mobile devices don't work so good with the website. Not sure why. You need to fix that. Moving forward, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, one reach me via Skype. My Skype ID is Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, I have a second account called Franz Games where I announce this podcast, various news, including client updates like I did in the previous week. And of course, this lovely telecast gets turned into a podcast and it's available on iTunes and Google Play Store and also the SFU On Call website. And I'm, of course, Tallcast, and just keep naming many, many links where that link is available so you can download the podcast. Some quick news from ADB this week. Stay work on the current projects. One thing, Steve Cole was out of action most of the week as he prepared to undergo and also recover from some minor surgery. He is currently, actually, just a reminder, he actually is still out. You know, he still has a tube draining fluids from him. And from my understanding from one of the posts, it might take weeks, possibly even months, for him to be back in good, able-bodied condition. So he's going to have limited time working in the office. So don't expect much from Mr. Cole. And of course, keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Moving forward, when it comes to Steve Patrick, he was busy working on Cabin's Log number 53. You know, keeping up on quality control, assembly, and shipping, and also busy working on the Zinti and Gorn Master Starship books. Gene was busy managing the Facebook page and, of course, uploading new ships to the Shapeways. Yay! And, of course, commanding the Rangers, keeping the foul spam from assaulting the BBS and knocking them off. Moving forward to the SFB Online Tournaments, Wrath 47, the one game for round three where Ted and Paul were supposed to play. They were supposed to play this week, and Paul came down with 101-degree fever. So I don't think anyone would want to try to play Starfleet Battles with 101-degree fever. You know, maybe their opponent would like that, because then, hey, they have quite an advantage. But so they still haven't completed that game, even though they had scheduled it for this past week. When it comes to the semifinals matchups, we have the following winners and losers. When it comes to King's Ransom versus Team BCS, we have Kingzilla of King's Ransom defeats Romd Wee. And Foul Run 04 in the Gorn defeated Asmorden in the Great Black Shark. So currently, it's all up to Gravin versus Craig. So that should be an interesting battle. It's going to be Klingon versus Gorn. Now, we have Team Fistful of Drones versus Team Orion Oldies in Bikinis. Now, right now we have Captain Rom playing against Old School. That's Zinni versus Archeofolian. Madman versus Devil. They're both in the Klingons. Devil is Majid Farsi. He's in the UK, so it makes a scheduling challenge. They have not yet to play. Now, then there's me, who I'm not sure if I noticed. Well, I'm not. I reported last week that I was defeated by Sleepy Cat playing the Zinni. And that's because I was stupid. and unfortunately, because I lost, that means that Captain Wrong needs to defeat Old School. Right now, it looks like a very, very close game. Both of them have three shields that are down or next to being down. And the Zinni has a few internals, which is fine. It's, you know, it's got the Phaser 3 repaired the drone rack so that he has another free hit. You know, obviously lost his drones, which is a bad thing. But, you know, he still has his disruptors and all the rest of his weapons. And is a little lower on power. But overall, it's still a very close game. They played some more tonight. They saved and going to be continuing on next week. And hopefully that Peter will be happy to have them do it next week. Moving on, when it comes to the Platinum Hat 2016, we have 25 signups. I errantly said 26. I'm not sure where I got 26 from. But so it's definitely 25. And the names and the ship selections have been sent off to Steve Petrick earlier this week. And hopefully we will be getting a tree from him by the end of this week, and that'd be fantastic, because as soon as that is available, I will be posting it so people can begin flying against each other in the great Platinum Hat Tournament. You know, and the crowd goes wild. Moving forward to the library report, and if I could just talk, this would be a lot easier. Unfortunately, no progress this week. Conversions still are at 2,365 with yet to be converted, 984 with percentage complete being 70.6, which was same as last week, but not the same as the week before. So we definitely have progress in the past month, which is always good to see. So with that, that is the news for this week. And this is me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight it is me, the chat room, and actually I see Barry Kirk laying around, just hanging around and being an overall pain in my butt. How you doing, hey, Barry?
How you doing?
Good, doing good. Still out of town?
Well, as you know, every Thursday I'm in a different place, right?
Yep. The question is whether you're on in the Midwest, or are you on the West Coast, or are you on the East Coast? Are you down south? You might be in Houston.
I'm actually at home tonight, but next talk show, next week, I'll be in Arizona.
Oh, you're going to be in Arizona? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Fly out Monday to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. My best friend growing up lives there.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mary has a daughter.
Tonight, but that didn't happen.
Huh. Well, no, plans change.
Oh, God, do mine ever change. Okay, I'll tell you this story. So it's like, okay, they tell me when I'm leaving the place on Tuesday, Monday night, they said, well, you'll be back here Friday night. And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, okay. So fly home Tuesday, Wednesday home, fly out Thursday. That was the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have two suitcases. One that has heavy stuff in it, like my tools and my hard hat and my steel toes. I don't need to bring that home for a day and then bring it back out to Chicago.
Right. That's kind of crazy.
So I left the suitcase with the hotel. Left the airport, or left the hotel, checked out, drove an hour and a half to the airport, dropped off the rental car, went to the ticket counter, checked my other bag, went for TSA security, walked up to the gate, and the phone rings. We don't need you back in Chicago next Thursday.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, My bag is still at the hotel. I told them to ship it to Phoenix rather than ship it home.
Yeah, it's got to be expensive, I'm sure.
Oh, it was not cheap.
Oh, yeah, well, with that weight, I can understand that.
It was about 70 pounds.
Yeah, which is, that's expensive. I know that one.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, it's good that you're able to stay home an extra day or so.
Actually, a few days.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just about doubling the amount of time I've been home since June. Now, I'm leaving Monday to go to Phoenix, but I don't know where I'm leaving from on Monday. I could be home, in which case it's Baltimore, or I could be in Kansas, in which case I'm leaving from Kansas.
Yeah, that's true. Give you a call 10 o'clock tonight. Barry, can you go out to the West Coast? We need someone out there. It's like a doctor is constantly on call.
Yeah, yeah, that's my schedule. Yeah. It's happened like that.
Oh, I know. I know it has. I remember the one time you told me about when you basically drove. I forget where. I thought it was out to Connecticut. Down to Kentucky, I think it was.
It was New Hampshire.
Okay.
They needed me in New Hampshire at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't let me know that they needed me there till about 7 o'clock at night. And it's like, there ain't no way to catch a flight tonight that'll get me in there by 6 a.m.
Oh, no kidding.
It's a long drive to New Hampshire.
Oh, I know. Been there, done that. Well, actually, depends on where in New Hampshire you're going.
Yeah, it was southern New Hampshire. It was
okay.
Only about 20 miles over the border.
Right, okay, so it's more like a 6-hour drive versus an 8-hour drive.
Like an 8-hour drive, not a 10, 12-hour drive.
Okay. That's weird. Kind of leaving here, usually took us to get to middle of New Hampshire around Conway. It usually took us like 8.5 hours.
Oh. Maybe it was 8 hours. I don't know.
Kind of one thing. I know the one thing we always were told, avoid the George Washington Bridge. So we always did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got a little... When the Google goes, oh, you got to go across the George Washington Bridge, and I remember my teammate on my bowling team going, don't do it. Avoid it at all costs.
Yeah. Do not do the George Washington Bridge. Tappan Zee Bridge is the way to go.
That's the one. That's the one.
That's the one. And I'll tell you, they're putting a whole new bridge in there.
Huh? Cool.
Yeah, it's like, I think the original bridge was like 8 lanes across. It's something ridiculous like that. They're putting an identical span next to it that's going to be even bigger.
Holy cow.
Oh, every time I drive over the Tappan Zee, I look at the construction equipment on that. It's like, oh my, that's some pretty big equipment. Those cranes are huge.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been up there since they started the construction.
Oh.
Yeah. My son used to be up there.
Oh, right, right.
Right. Up near Conway.
Any case.
Yeah.
So what was the topic of the conversation?
The conversation for tonight, the starting off with, is something which came to mind because of at least one of the comments on Facebook, which is the idea of what I call SB Online TV. Now, what that means is one of two possibilities. Mostly it has to do with the whole idea of taking the rooms, at the very least, you know, having so people can watch, maybe not people have people interact, but at the very least let them watch the games. using a web browser. Not, as I said, not necessarily have them be able to chat, but at the very least, have them be able to watch. Have them be able to watch the games in the browser. You know, because currently, as a demo user, you can log in and you can pretty much watch any game. You know, the one thing that currently is a limitation, which I think this is less of a limitation these days, given that we've got the third gen SSDs, and I think Steve Cole would be more apt to not have a problem with this because of the conversions. And that is make those SSDs available for viewing, not, you know, obviously not using, because you won't be able to play them. You'll be able to watch them using a demo account. You know, basically be able to view the actual like campaign games, you know, without without costing people to buy an account. Obviously, if you want to play them, you still have to buy an account. That's going to be the way it always is going to be, period. You know, I currently
it has to be.
Yeah, I got to have some way of monetize. Come on. You can play in demo account. You can go and play either the Klingon or the Federation, and that's fine. You know, obviously, if you sign up for a tournament, you have to have an account, which will cost what?
Well,
$15 for an account? Come on.
Allowing people to play as the Klingon or the Fed is a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have to let people play using the client so that they have an idea of what it feels like, you know, because... You know, you can watch all the video. I could record lots of videos. I actually have to record some more. I really do. But I record all the videos that you'd want. But still, you would not get a good feel for how to use the client. Inevitably, the best way to know how the client works is to actually use the client. You know?
Right.
Versus a guided, basically a guided tour is more like any video is what it's going to give you.
Well, when you first said when you first said Starfleet Battles TV, it's like, oh, I don't think you're planning on having people set up video cameras while they're playing.
Yeah, well, hey, that is one thing that is actually an option, believe it or not.
Not for me, it's not.
Well, not video camera, but the whole idea of, let's say that, for example, that we have this matchup coming up, you know, for what, World League or something like that, or for the Platinum Hat Tournament, possibly the finals or semifinal matchups. Where, you know, at the very least, I can, you know, they're scheduled and people could tell me about them, which would be fantastic. That's one option I could give, which is basically a screencast. Have a screencast of the game itself so people can tune into what? I got to think about the platforms that are currently available. Like Vimeo or YouTube Live, if you can be a part of that. Twitch, which can also stream live, which would be a little more interesting, given that usually the Twitch community is more about watching people play the games themselves. Yeah. Versus watching people watching a game. Yes.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut things short because I am home for the first time in a long time.
Honey-do list?
I probably want to spend some... I probably need to spend some time with my wife.
That'd be good. Okay, well, see you, Barry.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, there you are. For fun, they draft me. You bring cookies and toppers. Hey, I like the idea. And it's good to see that Ravens are beating the Dolphins 20-0, which is wow. And that's only the first half. Oh, moving on, winning forward. Yeah. But the whole idea, as I said, having a Sippy Online Tournament TV, obviously using a streaming platform like Twitch, like YouTube Live, like Vimeo. What else is there? I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head at the moment. Obviously, the possibility of buying things like a subscription to what's Cisco's product for web things. Now, I'll say web tutorials, but that's not what I'm thinking about. Web seminars, you know, things like that. Do like a web seminar, you know, that kind of thing, where I could, stream the screen and have people actually ask questions via the chat room. You know, things like that. That's one way of going. Obviously, the best way to do it would be if we could have it so that a person could log in anytime. Not quote unquote log in, but to bring up a browser anytime and get a list of what games are currently being played, and then just click on, you know, the room that they want to watch that game. Now, as I said, it'd be easier to not have to worry about the chat if we just completely could focus on just the game itself. You know, obviously, there's certain parts of the chat that would need to be, you know, the output of the chat would have to be there. Now, have that person to communicate in chat, that's a whole different other story. You know, that would be available as part of the game. That's one thing I might just have to limit. You know, I think that'd be a great idea. At the very least, it would give people an idea of basically allow them to watch the game without having them to install the client. Because Lord knows, I'm definitely of the opinion these days is the less I have to have people install on the machines, the less issues there are overall when it comes to getting a product available to people. You know, i.e., as I mentioned before, previous podcast, the whole idea of the browser as the UI. I think it would be possible. I do have something that's been sitting on the back burner. I did some initial work on it, which was the whole idea of a kind of not REST, more of a JSON API to the game server. Now, the one thing I might do is actually there's a guy named Dirk who was going to help me with the SFB Online, not SFB Online, the Starfleet Warlord aid. But him and his partner, Wade, the money that they were hoping to get didn't come through. So they're still wanting some feedback on whether I still want them to go forward, you know, as a kind of a part-time hobby project. I might say, yeah, you can do that. I might still, which means that what I'll probably do some of the work myself, which will be fine. I have no qualms about doing that work because, as I told them, when it comes to doing the Starfleet Warlord aid, the web-based aid, and which is, I would love to do a web-based aid. At the very least, it's a teaching opportunity for me to learn. You know, I use the opportunity to learn some of the web technologies and how to use them. Now, that was the funny part. That there's a new web technology which is available through Oracle called Jet. And we actually talked to the team, the Jet team, about it. And it's like, they really, it's like, it's not, they say it's not ready for production. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Oracle's announcing this wonderful new technology, and you basically should not use it for actual product. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Okay, so, oh, you got to be kidding me. Sorry, as mentioned from Dave, which is that they missed a punt, but got it back, which is good to see. Good to hear, I mean. But anyway, so, I have to experiment. I might, just for giggles, see if I could, basically, as I said, as a, you know, as a purely as an observer, work on, you know, just have it so that I can stream via Twitch or one of these other streaming platforms. See what's available, and then maybe set one up as kind of a test run, and even possibly I gotta check to see if Facebook Live supports screencasting, because that actually I think would be the best thing to start off with, because of it seems like the most not integration, most inactivity, you know, most activity, the most interaction with people, the most social media, you know, social contacts and so forth, is via the SFB Online page on Facebook. So if Facebook Live could actually support screencasting, then, and, you know, obviously I might be kind of commentator, you know, an esports commentator about the game, because Lord knows most people who look at the game and seen it, they know what SFB is. Now, at least that's my feeling. It is, for all I know, it might be that they see the games and they go, "Ooh, this is kind of cool," and they've never played Starfleet Battles before, but they'd be interested to actually at least watch the game and see how it all works. And if I do that, that would be, you know, fantastic if I could draw some new people in. You know. So part of it would be, you know, a live broadcast. Is, you know, start, have that as step one, because that's something that doesn't require, excuse me, does not require any changes for people. It doesn't require me to do any more work. And by the same time, people can actually, you know, if they're watching the SFB Online page, they can then log in. You know, they can watch the Facebook Live stream, you know, and watch the game and have me comment on it, possibly even, you know, just for those people who don't know Starfleet Battles, to point out, okay, this is what's happening, you know, basically give a commentary. Now, what would be really great is if I get the players to use like Discord and be able to link that up with the Facebook Live. I'd have to look to see exactly how that whole thing would work. See if I could get it so they could actually use their voices, because I think that would be fantastic of all. Is if I could get it so that people could use Discord and do it that way. Now, the question at this point is, Is it viable? I think it is. I think it's definitely something that should be experimented upon. It should be looked into, and you know, especially in the case of, start just try a live broadcast, see how that works. Okay. I'm reading from Dave, and Dave was mentioning that I should use Discord and that cord and have it stereo. I'm not sure what that Russ is saying. Paul can go all John Madden. Bob's heavy chair dives from the corner and boom, oh zoom on that squirrel. Yeah, that, I'm not so sure it's that. Oh, Discord, that cord. Oh. I'm sorry. I didn't catch it. I know, Dave. It took me a moment to realize what you meant. This and that. Oh. Oy. I thought it was a product. But, because I've actually got some stuff. Loopback. It's kind of expensive. For my taste, it's kind of expensive. It was like over $100 for the piece of software, but it will do what I want it to do, which is patching, i.e., sound patching. You take the recording from this source, then you can split it into two separate sources, and you can bring it to two separate programs, and then I don't know if you can bring it back together. That might require the use of Audio Hijack and Loopback together. I have both products, so big surprise. So yes, I spent Rogue Amoeba has quite a bit of my money at the moment. And actually, the reason why I even got Loopback at all, to begin with, was the whole idea of fixing the problem with Android devices, Android and iOS, basically mobile devices, and actually be able to listen to these broadcasts, the talk casts. They can bring up a separate stream, and I'm hoping, and I'm not sure this will work, and that is having the ability to bring up a separate quote unquote tab, have it streaming through that tab, and then use a separate tab to communicate via the chat room. And I'm not sure if that will work or not. I have not checked. I need to try that out and see how it all goes. Yeah. Dave's missing every time Andrew wrecks a ship with a TR beam. You can hear Paul. Paul's Andrews, "Wooly" as a catchphrase. Catchphraser, oh, that's bad. That's bad, Dave. Yes, this is what you're missing when you're not in the chat room. There's a lot more going on than just me talking, and I try to include the chat room as much as possible. Moving forward, actually, to Russ, which he just poked up his head. Just to let you know, I've mentioned this in the pre-show, which was that Russ's recordings, I will be using them. Now, the one thing that will be happening with those recordings is this, and that is I plan on having his recordings, and I'm going to add some my own responses back from, because he did it in three parts, At the very least, I'm going to be using two of those parts. At the very least, I'm debating on the third at the moment, and that's only because I have not, to be honest, I have not listened all the way through the third. I have to listen to all the way through the third to see if it can be coherent. The only thing, as I mentioned to you, I actually didn't tell you exactly what I plan on doing, which was on part two that Rush recorded. One thing he kind of put it out to the chat room and, you know, have us discuss this. And so it looked like the part two was designed for being basically just broadcast it and then have people interact. And what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to kind of trim that off so it doesn't get confusing. And I'm going to provide a response to that part. Most of the Halloween show will be Russ's discussion of his whole idea of a monster book, you know, with scenarios and new rules and updated rules for the monsters. One of the things which I thought was a fantastic idea is the whole idea of an advanced MCIDS. And I think it's a fantastic idea. Something to make monsters a little tougher. Cause, you know, and one thing that he mentions on his recording is that they become too predictable and so forth. Now, the one thing that, Russ, I want to talk to you about, I know you've done quite a fair amount of work, and I can tell from how you talk about them, about the eels. One thing I want to talk to you about, Mr. Simpkins, is this. And I think at the moment, I think I can get away with it as falling under the whole idea of a play test. And I think it has to go through you. Yeah, obviously, you and I have to discuss whether you want to do it, and more importantly, whether, because there is a possibility it might backfire, in that Steve Cole finds out that we're doing a playtest on SAP Online, and therefore you won't get it available to you. You will not be able to actually have it published. Now, you don't even have to use the current monster you have. Create a brand new monster. And what I was thinking about doing, and the concept, which is to create a monster for SAP Online. And it's an automated monster. Now, all the rules will be built into the client. Obviously, there's going to be some interactivity within the client itself that needs to be added. Some buttons that will need to be pressed to allow the interactivity of the monster itself. For it you select a button, move monster, boom, and it'll move the monster the way the monster is going to be moving. Then you go to later on in the turn, and you say maybe monster activity, boom, have it do that. Monster fire, do that. You know, might require a little more interactivity within the person. The person actually has kind of run the monster to a certain degree, but a lot of the way that the monster reacts and moves and so forth would be completely automated as part of the online client itself. So none of the rules, none of the behavior would be written down. Russ. Now, as I said, obviously you'd have to be agreeable to it for us to do this, and obviously there is the possibility that Steve Cole might say, well, since you do publish that monster as part of the online client, that you will not be publishing that as part of Captain's Log, which I know is your goal. That's one of the things you want to do. A spiffy dark monster, matter monster. Oh, I know what dark matter is, the big pain in the butt. Oh, yeah. I think it'd be a benefit from a lot of the computer help. Yeah, oh, yeah. And I said, that's one of the, see, the great, that's one of the great things about adding it to the client and adding the rules as part of the client. And that is that the way the monster reacts would not be known. They could be it'd be closer to a normal game. Normal game that you play online, and that is that the behavior, the rules that the computer follows are unknown. They can be figured out, but they will not be absolutely known in writing. The only person who will absolutely know what the what those would be known are you, and of course me, because I have to write, I have to integrate the rules into the client. Now, given that, you know, as I said, you know, I would be happy to give you some sort of remuneration for this arrangement, so that, you know, for me basically using your IP, basically. What kind of thing, Mike? Yes, I know, Rose. You have definitely, you mentioned it, they have a sizable toolbox, and I think that is great. I can't wait. Especially as I said, if you're up for it, I know that. SAP and FedCom, needed computers from the beginning. I disagree with that. Would it help? Yes. If you're thinking about, oh, you know, we should implement the SAP rules as part of, you know, on the computer. It's like, no. No, you don't. And I'll give you a good example of that right off the top of the bat. Now, maybe it's just because of the way I implemented it, which is I implemented the rules of FedCom as part of the online client. That's the only one problem with it. That is, if I get the rules wrong, or because of it follows the rules, it is inflexible, because it wants to, it requires you, it's not an option, it requires you to follow the rules. Now, I added some additional flexibility when it comes to like energy and things like that, so you can fix them up because of there are certain times, like I forget, there's certain things that the online client did not handle, in which case you had to modify the energy so that it was the correct energy available at the beginning of the turn. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mike. Yeah. That. See. That's one thing that, from the beginning, the whole idea of unknown situation. Oh, now Mike. The whole idea of an unknown situation is actually doable without a computer. And one of those situations was actually I played Ken Burnside. He was play testing, and the whole idea was first encounter. You know, it was first. First contact, and that is that you're meeting up with another ship that obviously is hostile towards you, but you don't know what their weapons do, and which is. The crazy part about it, I think it was I was making first contact with one of the I was going to say Omega, but it's not Omega. LMC races. Sorry, Empires. Ah. But the thing about the one which is called the Pogo Devil, said it would be perfect for online. Yep. You're saying you're struggling with complexity on the map, and that, of course, that would be no problem with a computer, which would be great. So we need to work that out. Update on the game. Joe Flacco is out with a concussion. That's bad. But there's still 20-0 starting a third quarter for those who are keeping track of in the podcast of what's going on when it comes to the football game. Of course, by the time you listen to this, you already know what the result of the football game is. You know, whether the Ravens can hold on against the Dolphins or they, because of losing Joe Flacco, they lose the game. The only one you will know before I do. But anyhow, moving forward, when it comes to that, I think that, you know, having the Monsters as part of the clan, I think, would be a fantastic idea. I already did some minor work for Monsters in the clients. I think I've mentioned before about them. One of the things that I have definitely mentioned about them is the whole idea of the damage allocation, and also the monsters. You know, in this case, the damage allocation for like the dragon. I actually have an SSD for a dragon, and you actually see it as part of the client. I forget if I have the same thing for some of the other monsters. I'd have to double check on those. I know that I have some. I think that I have at least one other monster, which is a pretty bland monster in that it just keeps track of the amount of damage done to the monster. I think that was like, what's the one? I think Planet Crusher. I think I might have the Planet Crusher. So because it's really, I think the Planet Crusher was pretty simple when it comes to actually killing it. Yet the, except, I think of Planet Crusher, it might have been the amoeba or something like that, which just required a lot of damage to kill it. You know, but you know, I've got that. That's a minimalistic thing that's part of the client, which involves the monsters. But we'll have to see. Hopefully, Russ and I can work on it, and we can actually add it to the client, and I think that'd be really, really cool to add one of the monsters to the client, and see how it comes to whether, I'm not sure, one of the monsters you're thinking of, the Pogo Devil, whether it would use the advanced MCIDs or not. Pack as a quarterback, no, never more. That's bad, Russ, because of the Ravens. The Ravens said never more, you know. Thank you, Russ. So that I think that'd be really cool. Moving onward and forward to the next topic that I really wanted to discuss. Russ, we'll definitely have to talk, mailing back and forth. Don't worry about the recording. You don't have to do any more recording for the Halloween episode. I can use what you currently have. I'll reply. I'll basically perform a reply in between the parts. I doubt this at the moment. Maybe divide it a little bit. That doesn't make no sense. The way you have a current setup, best if I just do a reply on the instance where you have the breaks. But anyhow, moving forward to the next topic up for discussion, which was, which is the big question. If you want to teach someone how to play SFB, what is the best way of doing it? There's actually, I listed as the topic two options, but actually, to be honest, there's actually three options. There's the first one, which is basically, it's very, very old school. And I do mean old school, i.e. the way I learned it. The way I taught myself how to play SFB, how to play the rules. Now, obviously, that was one of the crazy things, is that that's always basically a a big issue, in that you are, when you try to learn a game by yourself, the rules of a game by yourself, you have no one to basically plunk you when you get the rules wrong, or help correct the situation. Say, no, that's not the way what it reads. That's not what it says. It says this, not this. So, that's one way of learning SFB is old school. In which case, basically, it's the you would use the basic set of rules. I think that the SFB rulebook still has those marked. I think it was like I'm pretty sure. Previously, it was at the very beginning of the book. In this case, when I learned, it was volume one. So that tells you how far back it was. It was the commander's level rule books. And it actually, at the very beginning of it, as a preemptive kind of thing, it said, okay, the basic rules are, here's the rules, bump, 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 bump. It actually listed out the rule numbers of the rules that made up the basic set. And I think also the other rules that were considered advanced rules were also marked as advanced and not basic. Well, actually, they were advanced or marked advanced. So, that's one way to learn SFB. The other way to learn SFB is actually the cadet training manual. That was something that was brought on later on by ADB. The whole idea was, and I think it's great, actually. I think it really is. And that is that the whole idea of the cadet training manual to begin with is a step by step instruction manual on how to learn to play SFB. You have this scenario, then this scenario, then this scenario, and then this scenario. I started to implement some of it. Actually, I need to work on that on the online client because I got quite a bit done for that, but there are still some issues with selecting the scenario and having it so it actually updated the screen. I have not figured out what I did wrong for that. Yep, agreed. Mike is mentioning that the training manual is equal to programmed instruction. And I agree in that it slowly introduces you to the different concepts of SFB. From movement to energy allocation to weapon, energy allocation when it comes to weapons, when it comes to shielding. How do you fire a weapon? How do you read the weapons chart? You roll a die roll and then you look at the weapons chart. Okay, what's the range? Okay, it shows you how to count the range. And then, okay, what is your die roll? And then, okay, you do a normal cross-reference. you know, do a between the cross index between the two, and boom, you find the damage. It's relatively easy to learn. And I agree, Dave. Dave's just mentioning that the easiest empire to learn on is the Klingons. And I agree. Because the great thing about the Klingons is single turn arming weapons. So you can decide at energy allocation whether to fire them or not, you know, or at least to charge them or not. You don't have to worry about, okay, well, I charged them this turn, but they're not going to be ready until next turn because, you know, and this, I'm talking about photons, obviously. For those who know SFP, you know that. Yeah. Agreed, Dave. Dave was mentioning that the last person he taught, he didn't get the power allocation until the third turn. And I agree with that philosophy, because I know that I've done basically the same thing, which is first, you know, actually I would, okay, that's not quite the way I would do it. I would actually have the energy allocation done earlier, but I didn't, I told them what numbers to enter. It was less thinking, more of just do what I tell you. Don't think about what I'm telling you. Just write those numbers in and we will understand them later. Because of, with the cadet training man, you don't have the choice. You don't even have energy allocation until, I forget what scenario, whether it was scenario 6 or before them. So that's another way. And of course, finally, there is the alternate way of trying to learn SFB. Now, this one, in theory, you could use it, but at the moment, I don't think it's actually your best solution. And that's obviously Federation Commander. Federation Commander is wonderful. Now, as a learning tool for SFB, there's certain things that you would never, ever do. For example, one of the things that you can do in Federation Commander is you can cancel movement. Now, since canceling movement is not an actual option in SFB, what you would do is never teach that rule. But as part of FedCom, if the goal is to learn SFB in a simplified fashion, i.e. learning FedCom as a stepping stone for SFB. Because, let's be honest, a lot of what FedCom is a boiled down SFB experience. You know, certain things, you know, obviously there's a kind of a big, I consider it a big switch. When you go from the 8 impulses, which makes up FedCom, where each impulse, you have the 4 subpulses where you do all your movement, and then, so you're allowed to do the full array of actions, every quote unquote impulse, versus, you know, SFB where there's 32 impulses and you're allowed to do that action every single impulse. Now, certain things also don't quite translate. For example, the whole idea of defensive fire. There is no such thing as defensive fire in SFB. SFB, you just have fire. So that means that in FedCom, you'd want to ignore the whole idea of, again, defensive fire. Now, because of the way that FedCom works, if that doesn't quite work out very well. So, Now, obviously, if you wanted to, you could actually modify the FedCom the way it's played. So it's not standard Federation Commander, but it would be an adjunct, as a basically using it as a teaching tool for SFB, i.e., instead of having this wackiness of the subpulses, you get rid of it. You say it's 32 impulses, yet each of those actions are, you know, every single turn, get rid of defensive fire, because of the only reason you have defensive fire is because of you're only allowed to fire once every four SFB impulses. So in that case, that would resolve that issue. Now, obviously, at this point, what we've come up with is FedCom, a bastardized version of FedCom, as a teaching tool for SFB. Would that work? If the goal is to teach SFB, yeah, you could get away with it. If that's all you got available to you? Yeah, I would use it if that's all you've got available to you. Meaning you don't have SFB available to you. Because given the three options, I think the ordering in which I would recommend them is, you know, from the first one I would recommend, obviously, the Cadet Training Manual, because as mentioned before, it's a programmed introduction. It's programmed instruction. And I think it was designed for teaching SFB. Next would actually be the old school. You know, if you don't have the Cadet Training Manual, which at this point, it's free for downloading. So I don't think anyone can say, well, I just can't afford it. Well, you only can't afford it if you really want a printed copy, which, you know, to be honest, I like printed copies. Unfortunately, ADB does no longer creates them. I really wish they still did. And then, and last, and certainly least, is FedCom, because in FedCom, you actually, as I said, to actually have it so that FedCom, you can teach it as an SFB, as a precursor to SFB, is that you'd actually have to have it so that who you're teaching does not get really confused when they play SFB. You'd actually have to bastardize the actual FedCom rules, i.e. get rid of subpulses, get rid of defensive fire, get rid of some of these rules that are part of the whole idea of canceled movement. Again, as I said, the whole thing with canceled movement, the only reason you have canceled movement is because you have these subpulses where you have no action. That's why it's built into that. Oh, yeah. I think that is the way to go. So if you want to actually learn SFB and not FedCom, because FedCom is a good game in its own right. And I think if you want to learn, here's the one thing about FedCom, and I have to say this, because I agree with Mike, I forget his last name. He was known as Growler. He mentioned that basically, I think FedCom is the ultimate expression of SFB in that in SFB, the whole idea is speed is life, and FedCom pushes that to that in that regard, in that you don't get one, if you go backwards in FedCom, you are now costing you twice as much power to go in reverse. Two, when you stop, you get absolutely and totally no benefit whatsoever when it comes to shielding if you don't move. So in other words, it encourages you to not stop. Because if you stop, you better have a good reason to stop. Especially because, what's one of the things that you lose? Well, you lose speed. and in FedCom, there's something that you don't have. What's it called? A wild weasel. You don't have wild weasels. So, you know, without wild weasels, you have no protection against hordes of seeking weapons. Currently, that leaves you only one option, which is, actually, there's two options. One, lots of phasers and lots of just blazing away. And but of course, two, which is another critical part of it, which is speed. You need to keep moving and moving as fast as possible. And Mike, I did see what you said, which was that mentioned how Steve Cole a while back brought up the idea for SFB players to introduce new rules into SFB to make it more FedCom like, in that certain things would be resolved, i.e., I think the two greatest things were, one, double the reverse cost. So if you're going in reverse, you're paying a lot more. So then the whole idea of a Kaufman retrograde wouldn't work out so good as it currently is, because of the amount of shielding you can actually add to your front shields when you're going in reverse. And of course, the second thing, you're always moving uphill. That's the two reasons why you have a Kaufman retrograde. And of course, number two is reinforcement. Get rid of reinforcement the way it is. You know, have it so it's limited by the amount of batteries that you currently have, like you have in FedCom. But, you know, Steve Cole brought that up, and Lord knows a lot of people have a hissy fit about the whole idea of doing that. Now, this is, I think even when he brought it up, he said this as a set of optional rules that SFB could use. And I think that'd be kind of, I would like to try that to see how that would work. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Mike just mentioned that there's no real advantage Mizia when it comes to FedCom. And that's true, and that's because of the DAC got drastically changed. Now, we can argue, and I'm not going to do that here because I've done this before, which was arguing about, did FedCom actually achieve its goal of creating a faster version of SFB? And, you know, that's a discussion for another day. But overall, you know, and when it comes to the DAC itself, that change did little to nothing to change the speed of damage allocation. I know the idea was to have one die roll and then you just follow a table. Now, it might, you know, obviously the biggest thing for me is that I have not played enough FedCom to actually have that chart memorized. Unlike the DAC, you know, for SFB, which I've got, I think anyone who's played Starfleet Battles for a long time has got, at the very least, has gotten like the first two, if not, you know, like three, if not four columns memorized. If you play SFB enough, you got those first four columns memorized. And in which case, after the fourth, then it's like, okay, what the heck is that? You know, but even that, you know, even if you have it memorized, you have to write it all down just to make sure that when it does move, that you know exactly what goes on next. Understood. That Mike was saying the optional alpha strike damage allocation is the ultimate expression of speed. Yeah. What was that rule for SFB? It wasn't called alpha strike. It was called something else. Narrow volley. I think it might be called narrow volley. Something along those lines. But the whole idea is you have one die roll, and that defined if your photons hit or near salvo. Thank you, Dave. And that defined, you know, you can roll all your photons with one die roll. Yes, definitely expression of speed, but of course also way, way, way too freaking powerful. Okay, Mike. I'm sorry. I totally forgot there was a product called Alpha Strike. Yeah, which was interesting. That's one thing I never did like, which is the impulse cards. I forget that that's part of the Alpha Strike product or not, but I know that ADB produced impulse cards. And the one thing I tried to use impulse cards a couple of times, and I never liked it because to me the impulse chart was too great. In that you got to see what your current impulse is, and then you can see what's happening on the next impulse, the next couple impulses. And so you could do at least a little bit of planning while looking at the impulse chart, whether you are running it or not running. Because if you're not running it, you could at least follow along. Versus the whole of the impulse card is you knew exactly what's happening then. And if you wanted, you could look ahead. But looking at numbers is a heck of a lot harder than just looking down a column. Okay, with that, I think we will wrap up for this evening. It's been wonderful, both talking to you, Russ, and talking to Barry, and, of course, all the chat room, and thank you for all being involved. So tonight we had a nice discussion about the whole idea of SFB Online TV, you know, whether it's streaming or having just available on in your browser, you know, well, just a way of viewing what are the current active games on the website, on the website, which I think would be fantastic. It could be kind of make SFB into like a Twitch kind of thing, especially if sound could be integrated. You know, I'm not sure that would be too it'd be pretty hard to do, but if could at the very least, you know, have it so that people could write up notes and say, okay, well, join the Discord channel here and you can hear us actually chatting voice. And of course had a little discussion about best product to use for learning SFB. And then finally about Russ's idea for a monster and adding that into SFB Online so we actually could have it so that we have live monsters as part of the client. I think would be quite cool. Okay. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.